Good morning. Good morning. It is good to be with you, and I am thankful that you are here to worship the Lord with us. We're in the midst of a series on worship, entering His presence, and this morning we're going to continue looking at singing. We've talked about entering His presence to be changed in the first lesson, and in the second lesson we talked about entering His presence with reverence and the need for reverence and holiness and realizing the special place that worship should take in our lives. And then this morning we're going to be talking about beginning looking at the various acts that we do in our worship. We're going to be looking at singing. In John chapter 4 verse 24, the basic text for worship, God is spirit and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Our desire is to want to worship God in a correct manner, in a way that will be acceptable in His sight. We must worship in spirit and in truth. We want to have the right attitude as well as the right actions. So as we enter into thinking about the various acts of our worship, we want to also remember that these are things that God has prescribed or asked us to do in worship. This may be, besides maybe preaching at times and thinking about sermons we like or not, this aspect of worship may be the most controversial and certainly the most debated of the acts of worship. Whether it's thinking about old versus new songs, whether it's thinking about four-part harmony versus unison songs, or we might think about traditional hymns versus praise hymns, or in the larger spectrum, there's been a lot of discussion over the years, of course, and always still a ongoing study of Scripture regarding instrumental music and a cappella music. And there stands to reason because music in general resonates and connects with us. And there's so much that we have to do in our general lives with music. If you think about almost anything that we go about and do, there'll be some type of music with it. If you go to a sporting contest, they'll sing the national anthem before, and maybe during halftimes and things, they'll have the band or they'll have other activities going on involving music. You jump in your car, you turn on the radio, you're listening to music. You go to a party, there's music. There's singing of the happy birthday song. And if you go to a funeral, we also have music at a funeral, don't we? So music really resonates from our hearts because it expresses the emotions of our hearts. And so we come to worship, it should be no surprise that God has said, I desire for you to sing in worship. Singing is clearly a key part of our worship, and despite our disputes and preferences, it's a way that we must praise God. There's a lot we could say about it. In fact, several years ago, I did four lessons, three specifically around the theme of instrumental music, and I'd be glad to share that information with you if you have questions on that, or share those CDs, or you can get the audios off the internet. But this morning, I want us to focus. I want us to focus around what is singing. And as we think about that, what singing in worship really is, and I want to present to you that these are the purposes God intended for us to have in singing. And so suffice it to say that I believe that the New Testament clearly teaches that we only have the authority to sing in worship. And here are four reasons of why singing is so important. Number one, singing is important, and singing is expressions of our deep feelings and emotions to God. If you study out the Scripture, singing is closely connected with prayer. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 15, the Bible would say in that context, in verse 15, What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. And I will sing praise with my spirit, and I will sing with my mind also. Paul talks about how we're to sing and pray with our spirit, but it's also to be with our mind. And he connects singing as well with prayer. And in James 5, verse 13, if any among you are sorrowful or suffering, let him pray. If any of you are joyful or cheerful, let him sing hymns or songs. And then in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas are in prison, and they are in stocks. That is, their feet and hands are are bound. And what are they doing? They are offering prayer hymns unto God. They are praying songs, is what the text says. Literally, they are praying hymns. Singing and praying is how some versions render it, but it really wasn't two acts, it seems. It was seems to be more one, is what the text is describing. They're singing prayer hymns to God. If you think about it, our songs often are a sung prayer. They're a petition for us to live it out as well as a petition for God to answer. Singing is closely connected with prayer. It is done just as prayers are done, in the name of the Lord. And so singing should be a part of our regular lives and a part of our worship. You know, we revere prayer. We have prayer. If there would be someone here who just opened up their eyes and kind of stood up and kind of walked around, and while the public leader was leading us in prayer, we would think that was kind of irreverent, wouldn't we? And even in our own lives, as we come to worship, we all can be guilty of elevating prayer at a much higher place than singing. And I understand culturally we singing occupies more time than our prayers, and we understand prayer is talking to God. But here's the thing I want you to understand. Scripturally speaking, it seems that singing is talking to God. Singing is us offering up our prayers and our petitions and our praise unto God. And it's a reverent act, and it's a special act, just as prayer. And it's closely connected. And just as prayers express our deep feelings, so do our songs. Songs put words into our heart's feelings. There's a saying that I read that I thought makes a lot of truth. It says, impression always precedes, comes before expression. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let me explain. At the World Cup this year, of course, it was in Brazil, and they would sing the first verse over the intercom. They would play, the first verse of the national anthem of Brazil. You see the stadium filled with hundreds of thousands of people, or thousands of people, and the young man named Neymar, who was a 22-year-old face of the game, played on the Brazilian team, one of their key soccer player. They would then sing the second verse audibly, a cappella. They just sing it. And the entire crowd would sing this from memory. And this was his reaction. And there were several other pictures, but I just chose this one. As they were all singing, and it moved him so that he had to actually spend time controlling his emotions, because it was such a moving scene, listening to the crowd sing their national anthem as they were playing their World Cup on home soil. See, he was impressed. He was impressed with this emotion and the meaning of his country and the significance of this event. And that led to the expression of tears. See, when we think about our songs, we think about what Scriptures teach us in Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5. Notice, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then verse 19 of Ephesians 5, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always. You see, here's the thing. Most of our problems with singing could be resolved if we could keep the focus on it is to the Lord. It's to the Lord. It is a song we're singing to Him from our heart. And so as we think about this phrase, impression always precedes expression. If we're not singing, if we're not expressing our thoughts through song, then are we impressed? In other words, if I'm singing about the great love of God as we have this morning, or I'm singing about the cross of Christ, or I'm singing about thankfulness to God, if I'm not singing, if I'm not concerned about that song, then that means there's a problem in my heart because I'm not impressed with the love of God. I'm not impressed with the gratefulness of God in giving me so many things that I should then be thankful to Him. You see, if there is no expression in song, then it means there's no impression in my heart. So, we must sing to the Lord from the heart. Secondly, singing is not only a deep expression of our emotions, but it's a way of preaching and confessing Christ. Singing in worship is about our Lord and about the greatness of God and praising Him. In the New Testament, we find several recorded songs that apparently the early church was using. And one of those is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Another one, we believe, is in Philippians chapter 2. And some of your versions will put that in more of a poetry setting. When we know that it is talking about that common passage where Jesus had this mind among Himself that He did not count, verse number 6, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, He being found in that human form, humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Scholars tell us when they study that passage that it's in the form of a hymn, and that most likely the early Christians were using that, and that Paul is using this hymn to teach the lesson. Remember what you're singing. Paul does that again in 1 Timothy. And there's other places where we believe that they're quoting from hymns that they're singing in praise to God. Our singing is a way of preaching and confessing Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the Bible would say on that occasion, and Joseph read this for us earlier, but I want to notice it once again. Through Him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. Now, think about that. A sacrifice of praise. Remember in the Old Testament, you had to bring in your lamb, your oxen, or your animal. If you were poor, two turtle doves or some type of smaller offering. And you had to offer that as a praise unto God. The Hebrew writer, talking to the Hebrews, who knew the Jewish system of sacrifice, says, now, Christians, you don't offer that unblemished lamb, but what you offer is the fruit of your lips. You no longer get the first fruits that come off your fruit trees or out of your garden, or the first fruits that are born to your sheep, but you take your lips. And you praise God, not only in worship, but throughout your life. And this is a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips. Now, continuing on, look at the end of that verse. This sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips, that acknowledge, that glorify His name. You see, this sacrifice is pleasing to God, verse 16. We need to understand that our singing is a way of confessing. It's a way of saying we're thankful. It's a way of preaching and telling others about Jesus. We sing Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. We sing out of gratitude, out of thanksgiving for what God has done. Once again, if there's no expression, is there an impression in our heart? You see, we need to be impressed with what Christ did in the preaching of the gospel, that we want to express this in our songs. But then number three, as we think about reasons and what God wants in our singing, in singing we join in to the heavenly praise of God. When you think about what the gospel is teaching us about singing in the book of Revelation, it's teaching us that in heaven, the descriptions and the pictures of heaven show songs being sung in praise to God. And it seems that one of the big lessons of this that the writer is trying to say is that in heaven, they are praising God. And that we as humans here on this earth, we join in this praise. And that we join the chorus of all the world and the chorus of the angels. And we offer songs of praise unto God. For example, in Revelation chapter 4, he pictures the four living creatures in verses 8 and following, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." In verse 11, "Worthy are you, our Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Down in chapter 5, you have the song of the Lamb. "For the Lamb had been slain," verse number 9, "and has ransomed people from God, from every tribe, language, and people and nation." Chapter 14, chapter 15, both describe praise in heaven for God. And here's the thing, when we think about this, and I know that in our descriptions and thought of heaven, and we're going to study more about heaven in the before Christmas, before the end of the year, we want to do a series on last end of time things, and we're going to talk some about heaven. But the predominant descriptions of heaven involve singing and praising to God. Singing here should be a preparation for our work in heaven. And if we don't want to sing here, and once again, if there's no impression in our hearts, if there's no desire to praise God here, then what does it say about our desire to be in heaven? You see, what singing really comes down to, yes, it involves prayer. Yes, it involves us expressing our deep emotions and things like that. But singing really is about praising God because He deserves it, because He is worthy of praise. Thus, our songs are focused on praising God. For example, in Romans chapter 15, verse number 9, Paul speaks of this idea when he says, quoting from the Psalms, quoting from a song, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing to your name." And then verse number 11, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol Him." Shout praise. Sing praise. Singing is about praising God. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, the Hebrew writer pictures our Lord from the book of Psalms, brings that forward in the New Testament, and pictures Him singing with us in the midst of the congregation, praising the throne room of God. How would you sing if the Lord was sitting right beside you as we worshiped? Then we know spiritually He's with us. We know that we're spiritually singing to the Lord. But how would it be? How would our singing be different if we pictured Him within our midst? You see, singing is praising God. And boy, as the book of Revelation describes, the myriads and myriads, the innumerable, innumerable. The idea is it just goes on and on. It's countless host of angels that are praising God. We join them in praising to God. And then finally, singing is edification and teaching of one another. It's edification and teaching of one another. In other words, there is also a component of singing. It's not just about God. It has to be about God. But God has made it where there is a mutual benefit. There is a reciprocal benefit for us. If our focus is on God, if our focus is on to the Lord, then we also will be blessed. In fact, it says that we will edify and teach and admonish one another. That's what Paul says in Colossians 3:16 and in Ephesians 5 verse 19. That we are to be teaching and admonishing and encouraging one another in these songs. And so note, we learn singing connects us to one another. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, we sing with the spirit and with the mind. Another reason why we need to be singing is because it needs to come from our hearts and minds, and we need to use words. And then note in verse 26, do all things for edification. Singing also ought to edify and build up. When you think about singing, it connects us together. It encourages and teaches us. Can you imagine what a service would be like if God had not designed and required singing and worship? If we all were to come in and just listen to Scripture being read, listen to prayers, and listen to preaching. You see, singing is when we get to join in together, when everybody does their part, when we have mutual encouragement and mutual expression, and where we find out about how everyone loves and praises God, and that builds us up. Now think about it. How much more encouraging could our singing be if everybody participated? You know, singing, thankfully, y'all have been with me for long enough to know that I'm not a gifted singer. Thankfully, singing is not about our ability. And I think in our culture that emphasizes singing so much as ability-oriented, and whether it's through we praise, and rightly so, we want to listen to those who can sing well through our secular music, and in our academics, we emphasize, if you take chorus class or you take those things, singing well, that we bring that into the church. You know, in the church, God wants you to sing. He doesn't grade you. He doesn't give you, well, that's off tune. In fact, we find that a lot of the singing in the ancient times was more of chants and things. It wasn't even as we think of as harmony and things, but it was more of people singing and shouting and praising God in rhythm and rhyme. Sing out. Now, I'm not saying embarrass yourself, but I think sometimes we're so shy and we're so afraid that someone else is going to hear a voice that we really discourage others. Sing and edify. Let your impression be put into words through the expression of songs. As I close, I want to tell a story. As we think about our singing, this comes from a song you might have heard called The Heart of Worship. And this song was written by Matt Redman. And the song goes, when it's all stripped away and I simply come longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you've required. You search me much deeper within. Through the ways things appear, you're looking in to my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. And of course, worship is all about focusing on Jesus. And that's been the emphasis of my lesson. I won't tell you where that song came from, though. He was involved, the author of the song was involved, in a church in England. And the church had gotten so wrapped up in all the new age things of worship. And they had a loud sound system, and they had a tremendous band, and they had all this lights and all these things. And the leadership felt like they had lost their way in worship, because it had turned into a theater, into a secular performance instead of worship. So they did something that I praise them on. Though I would disagree probably with much of their teaching and doctrine, I appreciate what they did. They said, we're going to stop it all. And they stopped. They even cut their sound system. And they offered prayers simply through the word spoken. They had a song leader who would lead the songs, and they sung a cappella. And they focused. And there was a little bit of a pushback. And they got a lot of criticism. But they persevered. And they called it a fast to try to rediscover the heart of worship. And it was through this time, and this man, Matt Redman, who worked there and was a part of this, it was through this time that he wrote this song. And he didn't really write the song to get published and sing, but he wrote it in his own life because it was through this cutting out all the other things that he said, I rediscovered that worship is really all about Jesus. What I want to remind you is that that's what we always want to emphasize, is that worship is not about all the things that might go on in terms of the performance. But worship is about Jesus. And we want to simply offer songs from our hearts to God because He's asked us to do that, because we're impressed in our hearts with His love and His grace and His mercy. And so we tell Him thank you. But let me say that we can become so accustomed to our plain, simple worship that even it can become habitual and routine, and we ourselves can need to rediscover the heart of worship. And this morning, I hope that we've reemphasized that singing is not just about going through the motions. But singing is about putting words and expressions from our heart to God. And when we do that, we'll be blessed and God will be praised. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if we can help you in any way, come as together we stand and sing.